Welcome to Energy Unleashed.
Welcome everyone back. It is Suzanne and my co-host Kim. Hey, Kim.
Hey.
We are back for another episode of Energy Unleashed. These are podcast episodes where I, as an energy practitioner, bring forward some of the really cool and unique sessions that I have with my clients. Now, they let me do this on an anonymous basis, and I thank them for that because I think it is so awesome to be able to learn from one another. So I take little tidbits and I weave in kind of like my own experiences, and then I bring it forward for you to all learn from, but then we bring it to Kim, who helps me unleash it or blow it up or dig deeper so that we can all kind of, you know, get into the nitty gritty of this stuff. And this particular one, I'm super excited to bring forward because past lives seems to be coming up a lot lately. And we're going to bring Kim in on this in a minute, but I just want to give you a little scenario of what I went through the other day with this client. Now, this particular young man has been a client for quite a few years, and I have never found myself going into a past life situation with him before. So I thought that this was a really cool one to bring forward because as a practitioner, I am finding more and more opportunities in regular healing sessions for past lives to keep kind of coming in. And that's what I want to unleash with Kim in a minute here, because things are changing and I am not what would be known as a past life practitioner. It's not what I set out to do in a healing session. And yet this keeps kind of popping up, not only for my clients, but for myself. So we're going to unleash this in a minute, but I want to give you a little feedback. Now, this particular young man, like I said, has been a client for a while. He's probably 29, I think, maybe in that range. I've known him for quite a few years. He is a very avid musician and has been for many years. He loves, he loves rap, which is something I still can't get my head around, but he loves to do rap and recording and writing and merging different kinds of musics together. He was doing his rap performances out into the public. I think it kind of slowed during COVID, but I know he was still super passionate about that. So it's a huge part of his life. In the probably past 2 years, he met this beautiful little young gal who he is smitten with, and they have been having a really great relationship. And I believe that they even are moved in and living with one another. And he came with this kind of like really different vibe about him in terms of like, kind of like growing up and serious. And I've known him for a long time through my kids, in fact. And I was kind of giving him a little bit of razzing about, gee, you're kind of really growing up here. And he said, well, that's part of the reason why I'm here. I'm trying to decide, you know, like where I'm going in life and what this feels like. And I'm trying to get more serious. And I love that trying thing, trying to get more serious about things. And, you know, I'm just not sure. And he was really vacillating back and forth. So in the actual session, we talk a lot at the beginning before we do the actual energy work on the table. So we were discussing, you know, well, what about your passion for music? What happened there? And he's like, you know, I had kind of a bad, not a bad performance, but I think he had a bad feeling around a performance his last time out. And this is, again, around that COVID time period. So it kind of was a bad taste in his mouth in terms of he just didn't feel like it was a connection with the audience. And you know how you can do that. You can have like a bad situation and it sort of stays in there and ruminates in your head and it puts a damper on moving forward with some things like that, especially when it's a creative process, right? And then the girlfriend comes in and then the COVID changes. And so he looked like he wanted the passion of the music and yet it had kind of been shelved and it was a struggle for him. So I was bringing that forward to see like, where did his energy change? Because as a practitioner, I watch when they talk and their energy changes when they talk. And he was kind of sad about his music. And I never will tell someone what to do with their life. It's not my job. But I noticed that he was really struggling with the passion not being fed, or the creative passion not being cultivated. And do I be really serious with this relationship? And now do I need a real job, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, we go into this healing with not really any intention in any way, shape, or form for a past life. And like I said, this has never happened with this young man. So I'm in the process of kind of getting him grounded, going in for the healing. And again, we don't talk during the healing process. And I, boom, instantly get these massive, massive, really clear movies of a fighter pilot. And I would assume because of the clothing, it was World War II. And this pilot was a very high on the totem pole. I would say like a colonel or something. I mean, I don't know because there wasn't a designation.
Very
on it,
but decorated.
I would assume from the look of him, he had the stuff. And the, I'm going to be blunt, the arrogance of him held the higher position.
Yeah.
And this was really weird because I'm like, I don't get what's going on here. Why am I having this? Why am I having this? And I write notes, and I even had a name, by the way, a full name. And it was very interesting because he was very, very successful, very egoic, very on the top of his game, very powerful, very much had it all. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And I saw the plane. I saw the things out in the ocean, kind of like where they would take off from or on shore or whatever. It was very visual. It was really crazy. And I am not a history buff, so I don't really understand. Like, I couldn't say that was on these shores or that thing, but right. I'm assuming it was World War II. So I'm like, okay. And we go on and have the rest of the healing. And then at the very end of the healing, boom, another massive movie comes in, 100% clarity. And now it's this cute little old man sitting on a dock. And I can remember exactly, he had khaki-ish pants on, he had suspenders, and he had a short sleeve plaid shirt and a straw hat with a band. And I'm like, well, there's an outfit. And he was really enjoying himself and very calm and very happy in the middle of this very serene place and watching grandchildren out in the lake with this big, huge smile and a fishing pole close by. And I sat there and I'm like, wow, okay. And again, wrote all the notes down. And I, as a practitioner, made a deal with myself years ago that I will always tell the client everything. And even if it doesn't make sense. And so I told this all to this young man, and he's looking at me like, what the hell am I supposed to do with that now? So I'm going to bring Kim in now in terms of, okay, so Kim, it was crazy. I mean, it was like, I wasn't expecting it because I'm not a practitioner that goes, oh, I'm going to go in and make sense of past lives.
Yeah.
So it threw me a little bit. And not that it hasn't happened before. I've done past lives before.
Yeah, you've done mine before, so.
Yeah, we've actually done yours before. So for this to come forward like so hard at the beginning with one completely different personality and projection and time period and imaging, and then boom, at the end. And it took me a little conversation at the end with the client to realize they were actually the same person. They were actually the same person. It was just the two time periods in life. And I threw this out to him. And I said, I'm sure this has a little bit to do with what we were talking about earlier. And he's like, huh. And then I even tried to Google the name later just for giggles because, you know, whatever, right? And of course, couldn't find that because maybe I spelled it wrong or I don't know if it was real. Or. And that's here nor there. It doesn't have to find the body to make it real. The point is what is the message? Like, what is the message? So I think in my, you know, in my so-called professional opinion, as a practitioner, in my so-called professional opinion, I think what it was doing for him is really showing him he can have it all. Right.
I agree. I think that that age, and I don't remember where you were at that age of 29, 30. Those are big transitional time periods in somebody's life. Right.
Yeah.
And if I remember myself, career-wise, it was a huge transition while taking care of a family. And I believe that every time you go through one of those transitional periods, there's some type of guidance or message that helps you realize that there are not as many limitations as what you think.
Right.
And it's okay to take that leap. You know, it's okay to jump in and try that next thing. You're only 29 or 30 years old. You have nothing to lose, really.
Right.
If you try it out. So I do think that's a huge message to say, it's okay. And you can do what you want to do and find that, but keep the passion and, you know, keep that piece of you that's so important. And music is such a big deal.
Especially right now, by the way, because sound frequency is such a big deal in this activation process that we're all in right now. And I know that sound and color and light is huge.
Right.
And like I said, as a practitioner, I look at people when they're talking. The whole client intake part is all about me scanning and merging with them and watching their passion levels or their depletion of their field levels, because this indicates where they're holding things and what they're struggling with. And he was struggling to kind of be able to entertain the thought of doing it all.
Yeah.
And I think it's so adorable that somebody gets to be 29 and finds a relationship, and now I got to be serious, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I kind of still am not serious that even at my age, I just try things all the time. So maybe you want to play a little bit more, you know? So I think this whole concept though of past lives, this is such an interesting thing because we can learn from ourselves, and that's a weird concept, right?
But isn't that when you think about past lives, it's you keep coming back to experience and to let go, I think, things out of your past lives or your lineage, and how things you're processing. Like for me, it was around, I've talked about this before, but babies. Baby sadness, baby death, baby, that's come through so many different ways and from so many different places that it took me a while too. It was like, okay, let's try and work on, you know, releasing that, you know, through the process. So,
And I think that's a really awesome point that many past life interactions, when you're doing them in healings or in any purposeful way, is to allow letting go. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, it was allowing growing into it, going forward into it. So it can give you all kinds of different things. It's not always about finishing the karmic cycle and letting go or having atonement or forgiveness. It can also be about growing it further and having the actual courage inside, because my cell memory already knows that I can be wonderful. I had asked him earlier in the session, what was the biggest fear about being seen as a musician, like really being seen? And this is the same fear almost all humans hold. I don't know if I can actually be that successful. I don't know if I can actually hold that much power, because we're all terrified to really be seen in a very powerful way, because you may in fact get knocked off that pedestal and then everybody can, you know, attack, kind of a thing. That's the mental chatter in the back of the head when someone is scared of success. And it's very real for very, very many people is
at
to
every
have
age level. Like I'm doing that right now. I'm like,
right.
You know, if I put myself out there, you know,
then you're vulnerable. Right.
Yeah. And you're in it. In whatever it is, it is. So
I think him seeing the fighter pilot, however, said, oh, I actually can be successful. And I know this in my body and my cells and my memory knows how to be successful, very high on the totem pole, and still be able to meld that into a lifetime of peace and solitude later in the later years, where I'm still a family man. I didn't miss out on anything. So even fame, because this guy felt, I don't know if famous is the right word, but he definitely was powerful in the realm of his, you know, peers. And it was important for this client to know that you can have that amount of power and still have that family and balance that. And it was very interesting. He sat with it quite a while. We chatted back and forth on email about 2 or 3 times afterwards, and he processed it really well on his own. I shared the email with you. It sounds like he was going, oh, he went from, I need to find out if this guy is real, to, I don't really care if he's real.
Yeah, the logical, I need tangible, I need to know.
Right? And then he kind of went to, and then I went back to him saying, that's not the point of a past life regression. The past life regression is to get the information and the cell knowing, right? And I thought that that was super cute too. And then he kind of came to the realization that it was really more metaphoric information, which most past lives are, right? I mean, that's really what this is. So.
Well, and it's nice to hear a past life story that isn't tragic or full of trauma, right? Because usually that's what you hear from people, or that I experienced too. It was around, you know, trauma and sadness. And so to bring one forward that's like, wow, life, it's good. You know, you can be really hardworking and do all these things and, you know, but you can come out of that and really step back and enjoy what's most important in life. And it's almost like a Hallmark movie.
My favorite. I think what's important about this also is that we can purposefully go into the past life in a careful way, by the way, purposely go into that past life to what we would call mine the Akash, meaning I'm going to go and ask my higher self what I can learn from this. Mm. And this is a very tricky thing. And I'm going to kind of pan over here because I want to be able to get over here. It's a very tricky thing on how this energetically works. And I want to share with the listeners. If you're not watching, I'll try to verbalize what I'm doing. But if we can imagine ourselves as a little stick figure, this is how I tell people past lives are. My human story of Suzanne right now is like the drawing of a little stick figure. I run a line from the heart chakra above that stick figure, and I make what we would look like a sunshine above me. And you can see it in the drawing here, but if you're only listening, you can imagine now that there is a stick figure down below. There's a line that goes from the heart chakra up to like a sunshine look. This is indicative of, this is the human experience here. This line that's going up is what's called the silver cord. And we are silver corded to our higher self at all times when we're in an incarnation. And this silver cord is where we traverse when we dream state. So this is why we always come back to our body. So when we go out of body for meditations, astral traveling, dream state, anything like that, we can come back home because we're already umbilically connected of sorts to this silver cord. So if that silver cord is connected to you, and the sunshine is symbolic of my higher self, so the nucleus, the middle of that sunshine, is where all of my information from all of my soul experiences is housed. It's my own personal Akash. And this is where all of the tentacles coming out or the sunshine rays, each one is a different manifested light. It is a different incarnation of the light. They, at whatever point in time, were also connected to a silver cord to that incarnated body. And when that incarnated body chooses to leave planet, meaning die, this silver cord retracts and it is housed as a sunshine ray or tentacle. In that individualized ray or tentacle is what we would call the own personal Akash or recording of that lifetime. Mm-hmm. And these are how people like me talk to dead people. We go into that Akashic tentacle record because that is activated and always the same as that personality or that person's incarnation. So it's a live file. If you're following. Okay. Does that make sense, Kim?
It does. It does.
So when we are having a, I want to mine my Akash, it is very important for us to understand. I can go through asking, intention, prayer, meditation, whatever. I can see myself going up through this silver cord and I can go into the so-called foyer or the lobby of my Akash. Okay. Which is here. And I can look at each individual lifetime as a separate room. Sometimes I visualize it like a really big mall and I stand in the foyer of the mall and I pick a store. Because each store has a personality. Each store has a different kind of vibe, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of another great visual. So I can sit in the middle of my soul and I can say, which lifetime wants to bring forward the ability for me to know that I can be famous, for example, in this young man. Situation. Where do I know that I can handle fame? Where do I know the resonance of understanding I can be seen in a really powerful way? And what I do is I intentionally look at these and energetically it draws into and draws forward that information into the nucleus and drops it down through the silver cord into my embodiment or my incarnation of this lifetime. So it's a transferring of the energy. It's kind of like a flash drive transfer. And it sounds super easy and it's not really super easy, but it is kind of super easy in terms of it's just intention. We usually think we can't do things like this because, oh my gosh, I can't go into my Akash. I'll need somebody to do that for me. It's your Akash. It's your information. You really can do this. But it is imperative. And I'm going to say this again, it is critical that we do it in this manner, because if we don't, this is what happens. We have an auric field around our body. Okay. This maintains and houses my individualized incarnations, frequency, experience, etc. If I go to this incarnation and I ask for that information, but the incarnation's information comes this way, I'm in big trouble. Mm. Because what happens now is I did not bring it down as I call it a read-only file, a PDF that can't be edited, it can't be altered, okay? If I bring it through the system this way, if I bring it from the tentacle through my nucleus of my higher self, down through my silver cord, asking for the information only, this is critical, I then can have this as information and I don't experience anything more than the knowledge. If I actually bring it in this way, I get everything. So now let's pretend I went to a past life where I was a cowboy. And now my butt hurts the next day because I've been sitting on a saddle for 40 years. My shoulder hurts because I had an arrow in it from a fight. My jaw hurts and it's broken because blah, blah. And we technically and literally can bring in the pain, the agony, the emotion, the memory, but the physicality of that past life when we do this incorrectly. And this is a very serious thing because I, as a healer, have gone and worked on people who have gone to past life therapists, if you can believe that, because they have screwed it up in terms of how the energy flows because they're not aware of the technicalities of this. So does that make sense at all?
It makes sense. But now as an energy healer, how do you work on that? Like what happens when you want to remove that back to...
When I have to fix the one that got screwed up?
Yeah.
Yeah. What I do is I literally do it like an attachment. I do it like an energy attachment. So as humans, we also can have hitchhikers and attachments on us. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like an attachment or an energy hitchhiker, but it's my own self in a past life timeline. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I remove this. I send it back to where it needs to be and I repair this.
Okay.
I remove it. I send it back to the tentacle and I repair the auric field so it's not allowed in. And then I actually, in terms of energy healing, heal the so-called wound, whether it's emotional and in most cases, physical. Mm-hmm. I actually did have a gal that was, it was so bizarre. She had the worst shoulder pain. And I said, you know, did this just come out of nowhere? And she's like, well, it's so weird. I've had it for like 3 days. And I said, what did you do 3 days ago? And she said, well, I had this really interesting past life regression. And I'm like, what? And she says, yeah, I found out I was stabbed in the back during some war, blah, blah, this big intricate story, right? And I'm like, okay. And so sure enough, in an etheric, meaning energy, in an etheric energetic way, she still had the stabbed thing stuck in her back. And here she's a human being in this timeline walking around with this really incredibly sore back because the process was done incorrectly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to know where you're going for these kinds of things or have good recommendations because
it's a technically advanced kind of a thing. And again, I don't say that we can't all do this, just do it. And I don't want to use the word correctly because that's, you know, subjective, right? Yeah. But just do it with intention that you only want the read-only file. I want the information. I don't want the pain. Yeah. I don't want the pain of losing a baby. You know, yours wasn't, and in fact, when we did your past life, we weren't asking for it either. It came through kind of organically. And when past lives come through organically in a healing session, it's mostly about healing it. It's mostly about it merged into your field from your own self somehow to heal it.
Yes.
And so you do have this process of it breaking into your auric field and coming into your system. And then you do end up normally in a healer's office, which will then heal the karma of that whole thing.
Right, right. When it came in the session, there was pain and discomfort and sadness and tears, but then working through the healing and releasing it, it went back up.
And there is, if you can speak to the fact, there is a different resonance of the feel. It's a little disconnected. It's a little flat. When we have true feels of our organic incarnation, our own everything, it has a different heightened resonance to it, or the frequency, the vibration of the frequency is different. When it is a past life, there's a little lag time to it. And it's not huge, but it is there. It's a little bit of a flattened feeling and a disconnect. Like, I don't know if I own this fully. I can't quite get my head around it. I'm not sure. You know, you do all those kind of things in your head because it doesn't 100% resonate at the same frequency.
Right.
Do you remember?
Intuition, your body, there is a difference in that feeling that it's really, it's doing discernment to say, is it mine? Is it sitting inside of me? Is it kind of on the surface? Is it, but for me, it was more surface, not deep tissue type of.
Yes. Feeling,
I guess.
And I think actually, if I'm not mistaken, Kim, I think it took more than one time mm-hmm. for me, because it came from several lifetimes. It wasn't a one shot deal with you. It was almost like a lineage clearing for you.
It over years, coming into different healing types of sessions, different, you know, healers. It's taken years because it was going way back in the lineage.
Right. And I think people are so funny to me, and I'm not making fun or judging. I just think they're funny that they're like, oh, I want to know all my past lives. And sometimes as a person that does this, I'm like, why? I mean,
why do you want to know that?
and I believe that your higher self will bring them organically back to you if you are in need of knowing that.
Agreed.
I'm just going to pan back this way again, because I don't necessarily believe that it is that important. And this is my opinion. It doesn't have to be anybody else's. Take it if it resonates and toss it if it doesn't, as always. I believe that we are here for this incarnation. And yes, we do have past life things that we want to get rid of. But in my opinion, those happen organically, kind of like what happened with you. Mm-hmm. The people that come and they are over the top, like, oh, I want all my past lives. I want to know everything about my past lives. It to me is a little confusing, because those are not what you're here doing right now. You already have that information, again, in that nucleus of that sunshine, right? You have it in your Akashic file. It is important to just go to the information source, not the dramatic, oh my God, I think I was Cleopatra, right? I mean, I think that that's where people get really glorified in reliving another life that was either past, present, simultaneously, or future. I mean, it's kind of odd to me, but again, that's just my take.
But I think the first past life that came through was when I saw you, one of the, probably when in the first year that I saw you, and I decided to go to Peru. And in a session before Peru, it was a strong, healthy male fisherman, you know, like, and I think one of the words you said, he was like off the front of a romance novel, kind of hair and big and burly and handsome. And it was like, it totally brought forth for me before going on that trip that I'm strong. I can do this.
Okay.
I can do this trip. Physically, I can do this trip, because I didn't have any confidence in my body to, you know, climb up all the different places we were going and all of the trekking around. And mm-hmm. it gave me a whole different perspective or a confidence that, yeah, you can do this. You know, you've
well,
done
which is great. Things. That's another, then here's another perspective. So maybe for individuals listening out there, yourself included, those can be really important. And mm-hmm. I think that that's awesome. So again, we've got different perspectives on all of this, because everyone has things come to them when they need them, how they need them, mm-hmm. as they need them from an organic state. It's the ones that are out there digging around and going, I want to know, I want to know.
Yeah.
The Cleopatra comment, I did want to dovetail off of too, and go unleash that a little further, because there's many people that go, yeah, but I was Cleopatra. I mean, I know that I was Cleopatra. And then you're like, yeah, but I thought I was Cleopatra. So how can you be Cleopatra if I'm Cleopatra? And this is a very common thing that comes forward when people challenge the concept of past lives. They'll go, well, how can five people be Cleopatra? And the way that that works is it's a collective read of that Akashic file. So let's go back to the picture that I drew with the sunshine above. The sunshine above your stick figure or your own incarnation is your file. When your file connects to the bigger files of everyone in collective consciousness, now we've got sunshines upon sunshines, right? It's all of that information goes into a bigger library of sorts. And so now when it's in that bigger library, when we're in a meditative space, or when we're doing kind of like journeying out in the cosmos, many of us can do that read-only file of Cleopatra. We all have access mm-hmm. to that. We all can feel that I have the feeling of Cleopatra, because we can read that file. And so it doesn't actually dispute or or show past lives aren't real. It actually validates how big past lives are and how big this Akashic record business can be, because we can go to the main source library and get all kinds of information. So if we are adept at actually mining the Akash, which is different, mining the Akash means I'm going in for the information. I'd like the power of the fisherman. I'd like to know that I have strength. Mm-hmm. I'd like to bring forward a skill set, et cetera, mm-hmm. you know, versus just the drama of, oh, I was Cleopatra, you know? So I think that there's a difference in there. I mean, the drama and the ownership of that's who I was is very egoic silliness to me sometimes, versus the depth of, oh, that you can go into that same thing and actually garner the knowledge and the skill and the talent.
Right.
So I'm not disputing that it's a bad thing. It's just the intention behind it, maybe, is what I'm getting at. If that makes any sense.
So if you're looking to bring in skills, that was really a good point that you made, you know, going to the bigger Akashic and mining. But for your personal, you're looking at, I know past lives, I have different skills, and all of those skills bring you to this point where you are right mm-hmm. now, and wisdom. So right. if you're wanting to bring in, like say I want to be more psychically inclined, or I want to be able to channel, or I want to, like, how do you, you know, go back and ask for, I mean, you ask for that to come forward, and how does that work?
Literally in the drawing, it works that way. You okay. go to a meditative state or a prayer state, you go through that silver cord, you go up to that higher self, and you ask those through the nucleus of that higher self in that full Akash is everybody's information. But if you want details of it, you can look to those individual tentacles or rays of the sunshine, which resemble or represent individual incarnations. And you can actually say which one of you can bring forward more information. I mean, it's almost like an asking. I actually did do this, and I might have said it on one podcast once upon a time. When we are 50 years old and our family, our siblings go on a sibling trip, and the sibling whose birthday it is gets to pick. Mm-hmm. And we all have to do it, no questions asked. And it's just really super funny. And I actually went to City Slickers Dude Ranch down in Tucson, Arizona, and dragged all my siblings down there. And I thought it was super funny, and we thought it would be really cool to go try to, you know, ring a steer, and let's, you know, rope a calf and do all these things. And then all of a sudden we made all the reservations, and then I sort of freaked out because I don't really like horses all that much. And I thought, what am I thinking? I just thought it was funny because of the movie, right? I couldn't imagine six idiot, you know, siblings doing anything funnier. And I got a little freaked out right before it. And I mined my own Akash because I knew something, somewhere, someone, either in my tentacles or books or whatever, or in the big collective one, would know how to ride a horse and be comfortable with that. And I actually did that technical process of going up and mined out the comfort zone of riding a horse, the knowledge and the confidence and the safety of being with an animal that size is how I did it. And I brought that down in. And then I sort of forgot about it because it was about a week and a half before we left. And we were on one of our first rides, and it was super funny because the gal who was in charge of us was about two horses ahead of me, and she kept looking back and checking all of us. And she looks at me, and she comes back next to me with the horse, and she goes, "You're a really good rider." And I go, "Yeah, one of me is." And she said, "What?" She goes, "Excuse me?" And I go, "Yeah, one of me is." And she's like, "Okay." And then she just sort of trotted away on her horse, and I laughed my head off because I'm like, oh my God, that must have actually worked, because I was super confident. I was super calm. I was very comfortable. And I didn't even realize it until she had pointed it out. So we do have that capacity to pull in that knowledge, right? I mean, it is
fantastic. I don't think I've done that before, something that I was a little afraid to do, I guess, but it came to me organically for Peru.
Yes. Right?
I mean, that's, I guess.
So organic is beautiful, though. I mean, organic is a beautiful way, right? I mean, you're doing it from your higher soul self is saying, I got your back. I got your back, right?
Yeah. That's amazing.
So, yeah, I think it's really a lot of fun. They can be fun. They can be knowledgeable, and they can be messy, and they can be scary, and they can be dangerous. So it's all of the above. So my suggestion is, first and foremost, when they come organically, I think it's the best.
I think that's I didn't think of it that way before. I knew when I was in Peru, I'm like, this is why this came through. I'm strong enough to do this. Well, I'm looking up the 1,000 stairs that we have to go up to the top of, multi-tumble or some whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so organic to me is the best because, in my opinion, that means you're divinely aligning a timeline, a timing thing that is safe for you. And it's happening because it's all in alignment with what you're looking for. Number two, if you were asking to mine, I think that that's awesome. And I think that's very powerful. Just my suggestion and invitation to anyone listening is do it with some technical steps to it so that you don't invade that auric field. Right. If you do happen to do it not the right way. I that sounds like I'm judging. If you actually happen to find your shoulder hurting because you got stabbed, go see a healer and get it out of there because it'll stay, right? I mean, you don't want that. So take care of it if you do it incorrectly is what I'm getting at. But number three, I think mining it is awesome. I really do. I think that that's a beautiful opportunity to know that not only can I go into my past lives, but I can go into the all past lives, the Cleopatra situation. I can go to a higher perspective, right? I mean, I could go back to Lemurian and Atlantean times or whatever. We have that ability. And I do believe the human will be retrained in this not that far out in our future because our timelines are thinning and our ability to navigate interdimensionally into timelines is changing exponentially right now. It's just growing so fast because these timelines are the designation between the timelines. It's like if you had layers on a cake, I always teach it like each timeline is a layer on the cake with frosting in between. The frosting used to be really thick and it would be harder to go from timeline to timeline. Now there's no frosting. There's barely an egg wash is how I say it. And so you're able to slip in and out of timelines faster and quicker now. Mm-hmm. So this is going to bring us to a space and a place as humans, as a species, that timeline jumping, timeline navigation will be easy and it will be a normal and it will be fine. We're right in the flux of that right now. So I do believe this will be a psychic skill, if you want to put it that way, that becomes a very normal skill for the human species on this planet in a pretty darn short amount of time, as long as we start to learn what we know.
So going back and going through the process and asking, the timelines are thinner, so you're actually going to be able to navigate that much quicker with better, probably more clarity in the information.
Yes.
What you're saying, okay.
And the people that are doing their spiritual journey and their work of discernment, this is the critical key. I need to be able to discern, meaning keep my own bubble, my auric bubble in this incarnated in body here, in this body. I want my bubble clear so that I know that this is outside of my bubble. This is not of me. This is something or somewhere else. And then I can start to ask those questions. Where am I? Who am I? What time period is this? Is this a past life, a simultaneous life, a future life, etc.? So then that discernment process will be able to begin, but we've got to have that boundary of our auric bubble trained. And we as a human race don't train ourselves on that human bubble very well.
Yeah. And it feels like it's changed in that too, what works and what doesn't. So it's continually navigating that and upgrading or changing how you protect the bubble. Because I've gotten in trouble a few times recently where it's like, yeah, that's the what I was doing before just isn't quite the same. I need to figure out a different way.
It will continually change, but there's still the process of a boundary will still always be something. Mm-hmm. There will always be that ability to go, that's not my frequency.
Yes.
If we are skilled and trained at it. And that's why it's important to not necessarily just go play willy nilly out here, you know?
Right. So. Well, and it seems like as somebody that's doing this new, like I'm thinking about even for myself going in and doing this around, there's just some things I'm asking for from a wisdom and skill perspective that, sir, I could create a ceremony and bring in the protection that I need before I go into that meditative place to do that. Right. Sure. Like, yeah.
And if you're really going big on this, you know, talk to somebody or learn it yourself or Google it or whatever, in terms of make sure that you're setting protected space, like you said, and then cutting that space when you're done. And even cutting your cords from your own past life is important if you're really going deep into this. If I'm really in my file, I want to make sure that I come back to just being Suzanne, whether I'm just swiping cuts around my body or intentionally, you know, cutting the room or north, south, east, west, or whatever it is, so that you are actually getting back into this incarnation here on this earth plane and only here. So right. that you're not multi out there in dimensions.
Yeah, because if you're not doing that, then you end up with a broken aura.
Yep, and then you're kind of all over the place and susceptible to a lot of leaks. And so hopefully this is making some sense. And, you know, if people are looking to learn more about it, there's so much information, even on my own site, in terms of what that aura is and how we need to be careful of it. And that my new book coming out in April, Confident Empath, really talks about the auric field and how we discern and how we make sure that we move that stuff to the Akash in a great way. So there is training out there to be had on this stuff if people are curious. So just, and again, this is our birthright. It's our information. It's our lives. It's great. It's awesome. But it can also be kind of very confusing. So hopefully right. this gives a little bit of clarity, right?
It does. And on your website too, don't, you know, forget to mention that you're actually teaching this periodically in different locations as well. So
yeah, in fact, you and I are going in March up to the Palmer House and teaching the Confident Empath book called Empathing the Illusion. So that's at the end of March, and it's completely all over my site. And it's a great opportunity for anybody to up their skills. Yes. And we go back to the Palmer House in September for another paranormal slash kind of like, it's much more about psychic experimenting, and it's great. And that's another one in September that can teach a lot of this discernment process.
Yes.
So there are things even on my site that can really help out with this stuff, but it's great that even this young man got such clarity from such a gift from himself. It's and being the practitioner, I don't go in and say, hey, I'm going to find a past life. That's why I believe the organic bringing forward is such a beautiful gift, because he was ready for that.
Well, it naturally brings a different confidence, I think, in that when you accept it and bring it in, it's like, oh yeah, this is, I can do this.
I think it's really good. I'm really excited for him. So any other questions, Kim, as we're rounded down on this?
I think this was really, really great. I was writing a couple notes for myself on
Well, actually, I was thinking to myself, I haven't mined like I did for that horseback riding thing for a really long time myself. And so as we sit here and discuss this and, you know, pull it apart for everybody else, we're a little like,
I wrote it down.
Awesome. Great. Well, hopefully this gave everybody some great ideas and or just some entertainment, right? Right. So until next time, thank you very much. Cosmic hugs from me and Kim.
Bye.
Talk to you later.